bunch of like, here's a song, and pay attention to it. Because still, and because when we're doing the same, some of the areas will have different changes. So a bigger club will have to just like collaborate a little bit.
The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
A happy Easter to you and to everyone as we got to celebrate a beautiful sunrise service today at Schönbrunn Village. And I welcome all of you today as we continue in that spirit of resurrection, hope, and grace and mercy as we get to celebrate a very special day in the life of the church. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, thanks to all who helped out with our sunrise breakfast service. The food was delicious. We had a lot of people show up. A special thanks to Angie, who helped lead our Easter Sunrise Band in a little bit of the chilly weather. It felt like home to me, but it was a little chilly for y'all. Please don't forget, we have a CEC meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I will not be in office the next two Mondays. I have this coming Monday and the next Monday I have Spring Rally. I'm going to be napping, so if you want to try to find me, good luck with that. Next Sunday, we have a special guest pastor, Pastor Luis Worsham, who is the head of T4C in T County, will be leading worship with us while I will be at Spring Rally. She's going to be a great guest for us to have because she's going to tell you about all the community things that T4C does to help this area, all the people in need, a growing number of people in need, and how we as a church can help respond to some of those issues. So I think that will be a real treat. April 21st, please don't forget, that's our spring craft show. And then the 28th, we'll have our quarter auction. Next week, we will have the privilege of starting, we're calling it our Stuff Love campaign. And this was started out by Kira Rossi. Kira, give a hand so people know who you are. And Kira came up with this idea of collecting stuffed animals for Union Hospital and for children who are undergoing surgery or treatments of any kind. So this whole month, we're going to be accepting donations of new teddy bears. And because of the hospital standards, they have to have the tag still on them, and they need to be in a plastic bag. And on the last Sunday in April, our second mile offering will go to this cause, and we will bless all the teddy bears as we send them over to Kira, and she sends them over to Union Hospital. And we are very excited that we have the opportunity to help out these young children and be their hands and feet in a time of need. If you have any questions about that, Kira and Danielle would be great people to talk to about that. And then please don't forget, we're still getting in all of our youth surveys. We're kind of looking for ways that we can have a youth group for third to eighth grade, or under eighth grade, and look for ways that we can reach that group. So if you have children in that age bracket, please fill that out so we can find out the best way to get our kids together. And I think it's a lot to be excited about in the life of our church. And then I was also given this flyer, official flyer from Tim Northrup for Camp Zimmerman, and they are having their Black Sheep Barbecue on Saturday, April 14th from 10:30 to 1, $7.50 for half a chicken. You support a great cause. I mean, Camp Zimmerman is right down the road. They do a lot of things with the Moravian Church and with our wider community area, so just a great cause to support. So if you can go out there, that would be appreciated. At this time, I invite anybody else if they have any other announcements to make. All right, let us rise and greet one another. Good morning.
Hello.
Happy Easter, Angie. Say happy Easter. Yeah. Happy Easter, Steve. Happy Easter, Misty. Happy Easter, Jacob. Happy Easter, Chloe. Those are pretty flowers. Happy Easter, Jackie. Happy Easter, Audrey. Happy Easter, Stacy. Happy Easter, John. Happy Easter, Nathan. Happy Easter, Brock. Happy Easter, Marianne. Happy Easter. Happy Easter, Kira. Happy Easter, Doug. I'm losing my... You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week for this week. You can remain standing. And our watchword this week comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. You may be seated.
Thank you. Please stand for the call of worship. Brothers and sisters, what good news do we have to share today?
The Lord has triumphed over the sins of the world. Death has been defeated.
Will the world ever be the same?
No. We have been enlightened into God's grace, mercy, and love for all the days of our lives. Our Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him.
Please remain standing for our next hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Turn to page 90 in the front of your hymnal.
for the liturgy for Easter, and we will be omitting the final hymn, but we'll be singing it later in the service. The Lord is risen.
Lord is risen indeed.
Sing this aloud, proclaim it to the ends of the earth.
The Lord has set his people free.
Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, we are given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading.
Praise, honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins.
And was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship? Can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No.
In all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. For we are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live. And if we die, it is for the Lord that we die. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died, rose from death, and lives again in order to be Lord of the living and of the dead. We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died or to grieve over them as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, Jesus, God will bring with him those who died. What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What is sown as perishable is raised imperishable. What is sown in dishonor is raised in glory. What is sown in weakness is raised in power. What is sown a physical body is raised a spiritual body. Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please stand. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant,
make us complete in everything good, so that we may do your will, working among us all that is pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Please be seated.
As we prepare our offerings today, it is important that we remember that each one of us have received the greatest gift from God, and that is Jesus Christ willing to lay down his life for each one of us. So out of that spirit of gratitude, let us give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Together, the prayer of dedication. Dear Savior, when we think of the gifts we offer to you and our neighbors, help us to remember in humility the great gift you gave the entire world. May we all give in gratitude for the blessing of our risen Savior and the salvation he offers us. Amen. You may be seated. We will be omitting our choir anthem since our choir sang it in our prelude. Hopefully I didn't leave you guys sweating too long over there. thank you all, though, for that beautiful rendition. It really got everybody in the Easter spirit. We continue now to our prayer concerns. We continue to uplift Rick Swaldo in our prayers, who continues to deal with test results and treatments from his lymphoma. We pray for Linda Bonnell, who continues to recover from knee surgery and just has started the rehab process. I ask that you pray for our spring rally, which is coming up this weekend. We're going to have about 80 or 90 kids there in Indianapolis. We're taking two busful from T County, and I will be leading the programming there. It'll just be a great, quick, and tiring weekend, and hopefully everything goes according to plan. And then our former pastor, I want to pass along some good news. Reverend Bruce Weeknet had a grandchild this past week, and we celebrate with him. And also this Easter season, let us remember those we have lost this year. At our sunrise service, we read the name of Catherine Jane Canfield, who has been near and dear in many of our hearts. And this, it truly is the Easter spirit to remember those that have come before us. And there are so many saints that have been a part of our congregation that we just have to thank God for that blessing. And I also ask that you uplift Linda Karcher's father in prayer as he was hospitalized this previous week and continues to deal with test results and treatments. So let us take a moment in silence to invite God into this time of prayer as we give him thanks for his wonderful gifts. Gracious God, we come before you today living in a wonderful and beautiful world, because today we celebrate you. We celebrate the risen Lord who has changed the world, who has provided us with mercy, hope, and a grace that will never be defeated. Death's sting can never be so sharp because our Lord has risen. But gracious God, we come before you with a lot of people in need. We ask that you continue to uplift Rick as he continues to deal with his treatments. You help Linda in her rehab process. You be with Linda Karcher's father, our spring rally. And there are so many concerns that we bring before you. But help us to remember to live in that spirit of gratitude. For every day we get from you is a day of Easter bliss, where we get to celebrate the gift of this world. And help us to share it compassionately. For our world needs Easter. Our world needs hope. Our world needs to be reminded that this is a good place, that God is good, and God's light will shine through all things and all places. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite Harley to come up for our scripture lesson.
Today's scripture lesson is Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43, found on page 779. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judah, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses who God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Thank you, Harley. Our gospel account of the resurrection today comes from Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and is the resurrection of Jesus. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from us for the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. May the reading of God's holy word reach your hearts, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite our children's chorus to come forward. rest of our children can come forward for our children's moment. Good job. Room for me. Thank you, Brandon. So good morning. Let's say that loud. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. So what? It's a special day in the life of the church. Can anybody tell me what it is? Nick, what? When Jesus rose. And what is that day called? Paige. Easter. That's what we celebrate. And what's that, Brandon? Can you say Easter? Easter. Yep, we get to celebrate the special day on Easter. And so what we do on Easter is we call it sharing the good news. Does anybody know why it's the good news? Nick? He rose from the dead. That's very good news. Rylan, were you going to say something? It's also April Fool's Day. That's good news, depending on who's putting it, if you're pulling a prank or if not. Aubrey, why is it good news? Say, because God loves us, right? That's the most important news. And we get presents. That's good news, too. Hey, I like presents, too. You did get presents. I hope I get presents, too, Wynn. Oh, that's pretty cool. Well, besides our presents, we get the good news today. And what's really special about it is that we get to be excited about it. We get to have so much energy and joy. And guess what? Sometimes that's hard, especially when we're kids, because we get the newness of something. Like when I was your age, we had this aquatic center by my house, and we had this really long slide in the deep end of the aquatic center. It was in 15 feet of water. So I had to become a really good swimmer before I had the opportunity to go down this slide. I had to be in the fifth grade. So by the time I got to go on that slide, I was so excited. And that slide was called the bullet, because it would swing you through that slide so fast that your head would throw back. And you know what we call that nowadays? We call that whiplash. It's not very good for you. And you know what happened? The first time I went down that slide, I was so excited. I was so happy. I was so full of joy. But what do you think happened the next couple times I went down the slide? Tyler? I was scared, a little scared. What do you think, Nick? Yeah, that's what happened. The more times I went down that slide, the more kind of I felt about it. And you guys will notice that'll happen all the times in your life with events and things that happen in your life. And especially adults, when they hear the story of the risen Lord, guess what? They've heard it quite a few times. So it's up to each one of us to provide the energy and the excitement and the joy, because we got to remember how special it is. The Lord has risen today. And we get to celebrate that. So you guys are my missionaries. So if you see anybody acting kind of blah about it, it's up to you to say, hey, you got to get excited, because this is a special day in the life of our church. And I want you guys to always remember to keep that in a special place right in your hearts, okay? Let's have a moment of prayer together. Let's get in our circle. Everybody, let's make a big circle. There we go. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for these young people, for the energy and the love and the enthusiasm they bring to our church. Help us to follow in their footsteps, to be kind, compassionate, and caring, and thoughtful. And we ask that you bless them as they go forth into their lives, and they get the special privilege of celebrating the risen Lord. For each one of us to receive that special Easter gift today. In your name we pray. Amen. And go ahead and grab a special treat from the Easter basket. Yeah, those are really cool. Did you get one, Wayne? There we go. I invite you to please stand as we join together in singing our next hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. For those of you following in your hymnal, it'll be in your brown hymnal, in hymn number 429.
Thank you.
Let us take a moment in prayer. God, we come before you today in Easter bliss, and we ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the gift of salvation that has been given to us, and that we remember that all are welcome at the foot of the cross, for you are a kind, loving, and gracious God. In your name we pray. Amen. I tell you, I have to be careful how long I close my eyes after an Easter sunrise service at 5:30 this morning. So my prayers have been a little to the point today, I think. Let us begin by hearing again from Mark's account with verse 5. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "April fools!" Turns out Jesus wasn't there after all, and he had played the greatest April Fool's trick of all time. And those may not have been the verbatim words of the gospel writer Mark, but he captured a similar spirit of surprise in his gospel. Because Mark paints a clear picture that the word of the risen Savior is the scariest and the most joyful news the Marys will ever hear. Verse 8 from our gospel account said, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." And now, the important thing to note is that Mark is the oldest gospel in the New Testament. So this is the first gospel account that many people would have heard. And it ends with that cliffhanger. It ends like that TV show where he wants you to come back for season 2 and what's going to happen in Matthew, Luke, and John. And Mark is very good with that. He's very good at engaging us as people. But they are so surprised. I love that Mark leaves you without that poetic justice, that sense of closure. And Mark refuses to do that. He refuses to give any of us closure with his gospel account. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is, why is that? Why doesn't Mark want us to have closure? And in fact, early Christians who read the Gospel of Mark are so befuddled and disappointed with Mark's cliffhanger, they actually add on verses 9 to 20, which is about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene, the disciples, the commissioning, and the ascension of Jesus from other Gospel accounts. So you will look in your Bible and you'll see the shorter ending and the long ending. It's basically an alternative ending to Mark, which was offered by the gospel writers. Because their fan fiction is so into this story that they want that closure. They need that closure. But Mark leaves us with that awe and that terror of that scene. Because nobody had seen that scene before, and nobody will see that scene again. And I think the reason Mark doesn't give us closure is because Mark knows something. And what Mark knows is that the work of Christ is not done yet. That Jesus, by rolling away the stone, has just started his ministry. That he has provided us with that resurrection hope. And Mark doesn't want you to think that the end has come, but the life and times of Jesus had just begun. And this gospel makes us ask ourselves, are we still allowing God to surprise us in our own lives? We have so much information in our hands, in our phones today, that if we hear about a news account, we can go straight to Google and look at it. We can go to YouTube, and we really don't always get surprised like we used to be. And Tom Long, who's a pastor, said, "America's greatest heresy today is not atheism. It's superficiality." He said, "America's greatest heresy is not atheism, it's superficiality. People not being real with one another, sharing what's going on with their lives." And part of that is because we can hide behind those screens. Because we have access to any piece of information on our fingertips, and we rarely live in awe of the world that has been given to us. And sometimes we got to slow down and do that. Two examples I think of is when I was 7 years old, our family took a long trip to Mount Rushmore in North Dakota. And if you're a kid driving out to North Dakota, that is not the funnest trip you've ever taken, because it is literally all you see is grass for hundreds of miles. And speaking to the Martin family right there, they know better than most of us, but you will literally see 100-mile signs to gas stations. And that will be a tourist attraction, because there is nothing else out there. And when you're 7 years old, that drives you nuts. And I remember that whole trip. I went through so many batteries in my little Game Boy. And it surprises me to this day, because people ask me about all these scenes before you get to Mount Rushmore. And I can't remember a single one of them. I remember I got the high score on Pokemon, but I did not see anything that reminded me of Rushmore. And when we got to Mount Rushmore, I looked at it for about 10 seconds. I was like, oh, that's cool. Now let's drive 12 hours home. And there are moments like that that happen every single day. I think about in smaller terms. Every night our dog Kayla is ready to go outside at 8:30, and she's ready to go out, have that final run out in the grass and just enjoy the night sky. And I think about how many times I spend looking up something on my phone, watching a game, or responding to a text message, and I never bother to look up at the beautiful night sky that's above me. And usually once a week I'll remember that, and I'll just be amazed by beauty, and also be amazed by the fact that I don't take enough time to do that, to be surprised by God, to be surprised by the beautiful things that He does for us. Because God calls each one of us to have a childlike soul. Have a childlike soul where we take time and we dance in the rain on occasion, and we bust out laughing for no reason at all, because God has the ability to surprise us and leave us with awe. And when we allow ourselves to be childlike in our souls, we can embrace that. We can accept it and not like we act like we've always been going through it. And that's one of the things we have to remember on Easter. Because pastors are the worst of all people of this, but we try to rationalize and theologize the salvation we receive from God. But ultimately, today on Easter, it comes down to what we feel in our hearts. We are a religion of the heart. It's about what we feel with God. And, you know, all the books I read in seminary, all these stories, the best story that stuck with me about how I feel about salvation is a simple story I was told. And it was a story that came from one of my favorite writers, Terry Hershey. And he told this story about a little 6-year-old boy who's walking downtown on Main Street. And he sees a pet store on this street. And the boy is so excited that he runs into the pet store. And he sees the owner, and he sees the sign, puppies for sale, $100. And he goes up to the owner, and he looks a little whimsical, and he goes, sir, how much is it to pet one? Because I have $5. And the owner just kind of looks at him and laughs, and he says, son, you can pet them for free. And he releases all 11 of these puppies forward. But there's one puppy that lays behind. It is the runt of the litter. And the little boy sees this puppy, and he sees that the puppy has hip dysplasia and he can't walk like the other puppies can. And the little boy immediately looks at that puppy and he goes to the owner, I only have $5 this week. That's what I get for my allowance every week. But if I come back for the next 20 weeks and give you $5 each week, could I have that puppy in the back, the one with the limp? And the owner looks at him and he's got a kind heart, and he looks at the boy and he says, son, you can have that puppy for free. And then the little boy looks at him and he gets angry. And he says, no, I'm going to pay you for that puppy. I'm going to give you money like that puppy deserves to be. And the owner looks at him and he's just befuddled. What? I'm giving you this puppy for free. Why won't you take it? Why do you want to give me $100? And it's at that point, the boy looks at the owner. He takes the leg of his pant legs and he rolls it up and he reveals a prosthetic leg. And he goes, that puppy needs to be loved by someone that knows he's worth that much. That puppy needs to be loved by someone who knows he's worth that much. And that's what Christ does for us by offering us the gift of salvation. Because so often we're told we're not enough, we're not good enough for it. But it was Jesus who said, I will lay down my life for you. I will give everything I have for you. Because this gift that I have to offer you is enough. And you are loved by God. And may you carry that gift with you, because it's the simple moments like that where we remember how much our religion, our faith in God is right there in our hearts. And how God meets us right there. Because belief, brothers and sisters, in the amazing acts of God should not be limited to a day or a season. But for Christians, Easter reminds us that it should be a way of life. It calls us to change how we live our lives. We as Moravians pride ourselves in calling ourselves Easter people. And that calls us to live that out. Because in small moments each day, we are called to stop going through the motions and feel wholeheartedly the love that God has poured out for us. This means we are called to treat each day we are given on this earth as a small miracle from God. As a small miracle from God every day. So what are you going to do with the miracles that God has given you? What are you going to do with it? Each one of us have a choice. We can keep going through the motions, pretending like we don't care. Or we can let the world know that our Redeemer lives. And we can bask in the glow of God's light shining through us every single day. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today, and we are so grateful for the gift of salvation, for how you have poured out your life for us and reminded us that we have value, that we are worthy of your mercy and grace. Help us to be an Easter people, not just on one day, but with our whole lives. And help us to live in awe and amazement and surprise, for we know that this life we have been given is a precious gift, and we should enjoy it and live it wholeheartedly. And help us to follow you in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in singing Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord, number 543 in your Moravian Book of Worship. now your pastor shall slumber. Let us join together in listening to God's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.